This week on football, Messi wins his 8th Ballon d'Or. Stop what you're doing and watch this. Bwozza goes viral again. Bellingham wins the Clásico. Amoumin scores against Real Sociedad. Antony loses his head. Bruno Fernandes loses his head. And I no longer like football. Yes, welcome to another episode of Goalposts for Jumpers. It's me, your host, Alex, as you know by now. It's spooky season at Goalposts TV. So I thought I'd give you my spooky 11. In goal, David Demon. Right back, Marius Werewolf. Centre back, Nemanja Vidwich. Alongside him, Harry Maguire. Just because I'm terrified every time he gets the ball. Left back, Pascal. Ooh, gross. Central midfield, John McPumpkin. Other central midfield, Tashan Oakley. Booth. And finishing that midfield is Bruno Fernandes. Right wing, we've got Jack Grealish. Left wing, we've got Fang Hee Chan. And striker is Dominic Calvert-Spewing. And the team I'm going to call Frighton and Hove Albion. Special mentions, by the way, that I couldn't fit in this team. I had Martin Odegaard. I had Snake Livermore. I had Frankenstein Lampard. Victor Bonny Scary Face. Will Smallbones. Philip Chilling. Marcus Slashford and Dead Wallace. Let me know if you've got any others in the comments. Right, okay, let's actually get this episode kicked off with a quiz question, as we always do. This week's quiz question is, in football, if a direct free kick goes straight into a team's own goal, what is awarded to the opposing team? Is it A, a goal, B, an indirect free kick, or C, a corner? I'll be telling you the answer at the end of the show, so make sure you stay tuned. Okay, what have we got coming up? We've got, we'll be going around Europe, so we'll be catching up on all European football. We've got a Two Lies and a Truth coming up. We've got some TikTok submissions to review. But first, we are going back to Chompville. It's Chomp of the Week time. Yes, it's back. We missed it last week. We gave everyone a bit of a break. If you remember last week, I said, what's your worst football opinions? I put it to you. I did say I was going to read out my favourite. My favourite worst football opinion that you're willing to admit was David Gilborn. He said, when Ronaldo came on against Bolton, I said that he had a good 20 minutes against Bolton and he will flop. That probably has to be the worst football opinion to ever have, considering the career that Ronaldo went on to have. But David, you're a good sport. Thank you so much for submitting that. That was my favourite. But do you know what? I'm annoyed because Tottenham fans seem to be getting a little bit too big for their boots. So I thought I'd have to come back and chomp some Tottenham fans. I'm not really sure how to do this. I don't want to go nationality necessarily. I thought if I mispronounce a name, that might get them. I'm going to tell everyone that Man United are going to finish above Tottenham this season, and then I'm going to mispronounce a name, or I'm going to just call James Maddison, Josh Maddison, or something like that. We are going to start a league table. So have a look at the league table of chomps. This is how many chomps I get per video only on TikTok. I'm not including the other ones. At the top of the table, the record stands at Arsenal fans with 681 chomps. We had Scottish fans at 580 chomps. Then we had Toblerone fans at 270 chomps. And then Liverpool fans who didn't really go for the bait, they went in at a low 183 chomps. So let's see where Tottenham will finish this week. I'm going to get straight into it. I'm going to do the video and it will start, like I said, I'm going to tell everyone that Tottenham will finish below Man United this season. And I'm going to say that James Maddison's called Josh Maddison. And I'm also going to say Ange Postecoglou is American. So here we go. Ready for it. Man United will finish above Tottenham this season, I guarantee it, and here is why. Yes, you've got Son, who's playing out of his skin. Josh Maddison, yes, he's doing well, seems like a good signing. But you've got a manager who's American. There is no way a Yank is going to win the Premier League. It's not their sport. It's not what they're used to. There's something about European managers who just know how to get it done. There's no chance Tottenham even finish in the top four. That is my prediction. I will put money on it with anyone who wants to that Man United will finish above Tottenham this season. Okay, that one, we'll see. I never know how these are going to go. I really didn't think the Toblerone would get many people, but the Toblerone seemed to get a lot. And Liverpool fans didn't really chomp. Scousers know when they're being had. Right, okay, team of the week. Let's start team of the week. I'm only picking players, as you know if you're a regular listener. I only pick players who I've seen play. No 3 o'clock kickoffs if I've missed it. I'm only going based off the players that I've seen play and I can actually have a valid opinion on. So in goal, I'm going with Edison. Right back, Kyle Walker. Centre back, Jared Branthwaite. I've also got Mickey van der Ven. Vitaly Mykolenko at left back. Bernardo Silva in central midfield. Alongside him is Jude Bellingham. James Maddison, or Josh Maddison. Phil Foden, right wing. Left wing is Bernardo Oliveira. And striker is big DCL, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, or Dominic Calvert-Spewing. Right, okay. Edison, I thought, the battle of the two goalkeepers in the Manchester derby. Man United were awful, but I actually thought Onana had a fantastic game. But that one Edison save from Scott McTominay, I think it just kept City in control. I think if that goal goes in, the crowd gets up, it could have been a little bit different. But I think Edison, that is a stunning save. Kyle Walker was absolutely fantastic at right back. I mean, gets better with age. He seems to be getting better and better. And I think by quite a distance, he's the best right back in the world at the moment. Jared Branthwaite, what a performance. I'm actually going to say that might be my favourite performance this weekend. I thought he was a rock. And not just that, winning the ball, intercepting the ball and getting the ball over to Jack Harrison. And then that led to the Calvert-Lewin goal. I thought, yeah, all round brilliant performance. He looked solid, won everything in the air. Real player, Jared Branthwaite. And I didn't think he would be that good. I honestly didn't. I seen him a couple of times and I thought, I don't know where he's going to go, but fantastic. Really impressed me. Another player that's really impressed me, Mickey van der Ven. Current form, probably the best centre-back in the league. He's someone who I said at the start of the season, I couldn't understand how he was going to adapt to the Premier League because I didn't think he was mobile. We knew he was quick, but I didn't think he could, you know, beat a man for pace in the same way that he has done most of the Premier League fastest players. I mean, once he's 2 yards behind you, he's caught you. I'm so impressed with Mickey van der Ven. I think he's fantastic. Left back, I went Vitaly Mykolenko. Thought I had a really solid performance. West Ham normally get most of their joy from that right-hand side and Mykolenko kept them quiet. Soufal really didn't do much. Jared Bowen had a difficult game and I thought that was a lot of that down to Mykolenko and a clean sheet for him. Bernardo Silva was probably arguably the best player in the derby. I thought he's absolutely fantastic. Play him anywhere you want, Bernardo Silva. Lovely little player. And yeah, I mean, Man United don't even have a player even close to that level of quality. Jude Bellingham. I mean, how many times are we going to say it? We said it at the start of the season. I really thought Jude Bellingham was going to go to Madrid and smash it. He is smashing, but I never, ever predicted this. I watched the Clasico and that first goal that he scored, I could feel that he wanted to hit it. It was like the ball had bobbled around for a little bit, and it was almost like he was getting annoyed. And as soon as he had a chance, just line one up, rocket into the top corner in the biggest game there is in Spain. Absolutely mesmeric. I mean, I can't even... Pops up with a winner as well. This is a central midfielder who's 20 years old. Madness. James Maddison, another fantastic performance, that performance against Palace. Tottenham's probably best player. And I'm going to argue that James Maddison is the best player in the Premier League so far this season. I think he's been untouchable. On the right wing, Phil Foden really annoys me because he doesn't... I mean, we know how good Phil Foden is. He's quality. But it seems like when it's the Manchester derby, he plays the game of his life. He does against Liverpool as well. In the biggest games, in club football, he seems to have the best games. It's not really transpired in the England setup, but loves playing against Man United. I thought he was fantastic. Yeah, again, another player. United couldn't even touch him. Left wing, Bernardo Oliveira. This is a name that probably no one's heard of unless you follow A-League. A-League is back. I love the A-League in Australia. It's absolutely fantastic viewing. This is a 19-year-old Bernardo Oliveira. I've not seen him play before. I know he played a couple of games last season, got a couple of goals as well, but his performance... really impressed me, just looked like a real danger, and Adelaide ran out 6-0 winners. So yeah, he was brilliant. Anyone who gets a chance to watch some A-League football, do. It's on BT Sport, TNT Sport. It's fantastic. And striker Dominic Calvert-Lewin. I love Dominic Calvert-Lewin. When he's on it, he's one of the best strikers in the league. And I know that sounds like it's hyperbolic. It's not. When he is on it, he's unplayable. Wins absolutely everything in the air. He's kind of a focal point, but at the same time, he can get in behind. So he's one of those hold-up play strikers. So you can pump the ball up to him, which Everton will do under Sean Dyche. But he can also play. And that is what I love about him. That touch for his goal was amazing. And it's one of those things that probably goes unnoticed. But the little touch as he's feinted to go right and then gone left and then to finish it bottom corner. I think if we see Haaland do that, we'll be raving about it. Calvert-Lewin deserves that. He's been through a lot with injuries and stuff like that. So yeah, amazing, amazing moment for him. That was my team of the week, guys. Hope you agree. Feel free to disagree and let me know. We've got Two Lies and a Truth next. Okay, Two Lies and a Truth. This is the part of the show where I tell you three stories that are fucking crazy. One of them is true, but two of them are lies and I've made up. You have to guess which one it is. Let's start with story number one. Steven Gerrard scored a goal for Bulgaria under 17s. Story number two. Groundskeeper Willie once scored a goal for Aberdeen Reserves. Or is it story number three? Jimothy Jamothy was sent off last week for South African side Hungry Lions. That's three stories in the world of football. One of those is true, and I bet you think, how the fuck is any of those true? Well, one of them is true, and I'll be revealing the answer at the end of the show, so stay tuned. Right, okay, let's do some TikTok submissions. This is where people send me, threw up in my mouth, stuff, and I react to it, and usually it's animals or Kel the Dragon. We haven't had Kel the Dragon for a while, so I'm looking forward to this.
Country roads, country roads, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home. Country roads, la la la, la la la, la la la, la la la. West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home. Country roads, la la la.
Kel the Dragon there. Kel the Dragon just seems constantly surprised by his own actions. Like, he'll do something and then he'll have to react to that. And he's always like, it's like he's lagging. I know there's a video of him, a video of him lagging on that bus on the way to the Sidemen charity match. I mean, what more can we say about him? Looks like a snake.
How did it start?
Started off harmlessly enough, putting statuses on like, when does the Chinese open or when do the shops open? All things I could simply Google, but I like the comments.
What happened next?
Then I started watching the news, looking for atrocities in different countries so I could change my profile picture. Not that I cared. I was just jealous of the attention they received. And I wanted some of it.
This is class.
What else did you do?
I started going to the Costa at the hospital. It was a pound more of coffee, but it meant I could sign in on Facebook at A&E. I used to let the suspense build up in the comments, relatives, friends, worrying about me. Then
I'm telling you now, there are people who do that. I'm telling you now, there are 100% people who do that. This is the problem when you've got Liverpool fans who are your TikTok submitters. I'm going to have to replace you. That was the City fans singing to the United fans during the derby. Is that person all right? That is the best goal that's been submitted so far. That's the best. Because the touch is outrageous. The touch is smooth. It's composed. He pops it off. Moves, strikes it bang into the top corner. I mean, watch this again. Lovely. Amazing. Pop it off. Oh, God's sake. The thing is, that volley isn't even easy. It's not like it's fallen to him perfectly. It's like almost behind him and he's still got that left foot. Bang, top corner. Love that. What a goal. Beat that. Anyone who can submit me a better Sunday League goal.
A tourist has died and three others have been injured after a glass walkway shattered in Indonesia. And safety concerns were allegedly ignored by management. 11 tourists were on the bridge at the time. Two fell through the glass and one was later declared dead. Two more people were...
Do you know what? When you see these glass bridges and you see people reacting, I'm always like, oh, come on. It's not gonna... Bye. Large.
I think this Onana Garnacho situation is really important to talk about. I think it's a sign of our times.
I'll stop you there. No, it's not.
So I know that Onana has put out a statement on social media saying, people can't choose what I get offended by. I know what he meant.
Stop you there again. He's right.
He meant power and strength regarding the emojis that Garnacho used, a couple of gorillas over the post of Onana saving a penalty. The problem is, language is so important, and emojis are a language of art.
Language is important. What is more important is intention. Your intention and how it's received by the other person, providing those two marry up, why on earth does anyone need to be offended? Why can't you just not be offended if that person isn't offended? Onana has received that, understood that, and moved on. Yet everyone, and I bet you the people who are offended are white. I guarantee it. I bet you it's not black people. I bet you it's white people. Of course he doesn't mean anything by it. It's half racist to even just assume that he means something by it. This is a video of a guy, for people listening, unzipping a tent, and there's a monster outside the tent. A full-grown monster. And then he zips it back up, like that's going to protect him. Does it protect him? My God. Oh. Well, don't go out. Well, don't go out. A monster. Unzips it. A monster.
How many people do you think you've stabbed?
A lot.
Respect.
Assistència de Xavi, més capreta per a Messi, 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 immens Messi, encara Messi, encara Messi, encara Messi, encara Messi, encara Messi, gol, 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 gol.
What's quite funny is the people running towards the incident there. Yeah, do you know what? I can't stand that. People who play Sunday League just to go out and hurt someone. It's fucking sad.
Chips. Chips.
No, yet.
No, yet.
Chippies.
Oh.
Chicken.
Yeah.
Love you, diamond.
I love you too, mate. Yeah.
Be a help.
I got you, sucker.
Okay. Get you chips.
That was actually quite heartwarming. Why do they love everything? They must live great lives, like actually genuinely. I mean, don't kiss him on the arm, but.
Can I go down the slide?
Yes, one.
Can I go down the slide?
Yes, one.
Can I go down the slide?
Yes, one.
Can I go down the slide?
Yes,
lands on his head. Can I go down the slide?
Yes, one.
Can I go down the slide?
Oh, that's...
Yes, one.
Okay, quality. Amazing. I'm crying. Oh, that's amazing. Wow. Actually really rate that from Dallow. I think players, particularly match-going fans, I think players should interact more with them. You've got an opportunity in the warm-up just to maybe go over and, you know. But that's great. I like that.
What Chris Sutton does is an attention seeker. I find that very bizarre because if you had a good career, why are you sat on Twitter hammering into a lad that you had an interview with and said you're an amazing person, amazing player, and you're back at Norwich and think that he just forgets that? So for me, it's like, this isn't even real.
Yeah, I actually agree with Todd. That's Todd Cantwell there. Talking about Chris Sutton, and Chris Sutton is a melt. Nobody likes Chris Sutton. I'm not going to say anything negative about women's football. I'm going to say, I'm going to pose questions. Why is there so many of these mistakes in women's football? Why are so many players at a professional level really bad? And why can't goalkeepers do anything? Those are just questions. Then that's not me saying, that's not an opinion, this facts. Why is it so bad?
When the commentator thinks she can do better.
They're getting into a good position. Lovely ball. This could lead to something. What a terrific effort. That would have been special.
Well, Guy, I think I would have taken that on differently. Pop it off my chest, do a few juggles into and around the world, pop it up again for a scorpion kick off the crossbar, complete the crossbar challenge, then get it back and control it with my chest, do some Brazilian freestyling, pop it up one last time for the scissor kick top bins. Honestly, Guy, I would probably be off celebrating right now if that was me.
Can you please just shut the fuck up for 5 seconds, Sue? Can he finish? Must be.
That's really great and also really scary, like how real that could actually sound.
Hi, I'm Jordan Hugel. Can't wait to walk out here with all the bubbles. Come on, you iron.
That sucks for Jordan Hugel. Because who's made him do that? Like, come on. It's not his fault that that is that. Did he even play for West Ham? I swear he didn't even like get a kick for them. Yeah, that's poor from West Ham making him do that. Good. Yeah, you got to admit, European away fans are fantastic when they come over. I remember Barcelona earlier this year. I remember Barcelona fans, and we were going to get the tram, and about three different trams came and went because we didn't dare get on them. They were packed full of Barca fans, like giving it large, like. And in a funny way, like they were having a bit of banter, but there was not a chance as United fans we were getting on that. No way. But when they came over, they just took over, and you got to give it to them. Like these Toulouse fans, fantastic. And it seems pretty peaceful. Like we saw the Paris fans coming over to Newcastle, and there was a lot of trouble. They seemed pretty peaceful. I saw someone earlier, I think it was earlier today, talk about the away fans that have come over for Liverpool games, particularly in the Europa League, have been really good. But when it comes to Champions League, there's always trouble. Don't know whether it's just, maybe it's a case of in the Europa League, sometimes it's not as big of an occasion as, or it's not as tense, and you get a little bit het up when you come to a Champions League game. I don't know. But yeah, Toulouse fans look class.
This one is to get back within one score.
I've actually never seen wheelchair rugby before, and I didn't know that they did this. Of course they're not going to kick. Pat. Magnificent from Pat. Even better from Pat. It's brilliant from Pat. Can he finish? It's wonderful! Dimitri Payet, a streets will never forget player for the two seasons I think he was there at West Ham. Wasn't there long, was he? Magnificent. And actually, for anyone who follows French football, I watched a lot of Marseille games when he went there, and he was majestic still. He was still as good. He was just doing it in a different league. What a player Mo Salah is. Unbelievable. There's a lovely drop of the shoulder which bought him some space. Just effortlessly gliding forward here. Emre Eze! Wickham to Ayew. Oh, he's still got it. And still, Ayew! I remember watching that Ayew goal, and it is the most fucked up thing I've ever seen on a football pitch. I'm not saying he's an awful player, but where has he plucked that out of? What has he done? This reminds me of like those caving videos that you see where people go caving and they're fitting through narrow gaps. You've got to be a psychopath, but I'm assuming he's alone up here. So if he falls, imagine you fall, right? Break your leg, can't move, and then you just got to lie there and die for the rest of your life. Anteaters are solid. That was it. That was TikTok submissions. And what a way to end it with an animal video, of course. Okay, right. Let's go around Europe. This is the part of the show where I keep you up to date with everything that's happened in European football. Well, all the headlines in France, in Spain, in Italy, Germany, and other places like Portugal and the Netherlands. In France, PSG scraped a win 3-2 in the last minute. Kylian Mbappe with two goals. He scored his last. It was a penalty, missed it, followed up, scored. And that is a massive win for them because former top spot Monaco lost, which is a massive loss. I mean, Lille are a good side. I think they're thereabouts, maybe top 4 or 5. But they lost 2-0 away at Lille. And that then meant that Nice, their win away at Clermont, they won, kept another clean sheet. They won and now have taken top spot. But it's really close now. PSG, Nice and Monaco. But that was another clean sheet for Nice. And people have to start taking notice of Nice because I think they've conceded 4 goals all season. It's absolutely nuts. And yeah, they're going well. It seems to like they win 1-0 every week. Other end of the table, Lyon, they didn't get a chance to lose again and show how bad they are because their game was postponed after their coach, Fabio Grosso, was hit with stones by protesters before the game. So the match was postponed, didn't go ahead. And Lyon, I mean, we've talked about it every week. They're in turmoil, but now it's off the pitch as well. It's getting worse. That's shocking. We spoke about Akor Adams earlier in the season. Oh, actually, we spoke about him, I think, maybe in the first episode of the season, that he could be a great signing, scored a lot of goals. Well, he scored twice for Montpellier, only Mbappe ahead of him in the goal-scoring charts in France. In Spain, well, we talked about Jude Bellingham earlier. Madrid, they won the Clásico late on. It was a Bellingham goal. He was the difference. The first goal was absolutely fantastic. It was kind of a strange game to watch. It was at the Olympico, so obviously there's no Nou Camp. So it didn't really feel like the size of game that it actually was. It felt a little bit dead. So it was a strange game to watch. And that could be partly why some players maybe weren't as up for it. Gundogan came out Obviously, Gundogan scored the goal that gave Barca the lead, but he came out and has criticised his teammates because he felt like they weren't showing the right effort. I think he's come from Man City where the mentality is there, and anything below that, obviously, he's gonna catch. But yeah, Barcelona beaten in the Clásico. Madrid now joint top with Girona. Girona won again. They left it late as well, just like Madrid did. They won 1-0, a goal in the 92nd minute at Celta Vigo, at home to Celta Vigo. Almeria bottom. They picked up their 8th loss in 11 games without a win. And Bellingham, yeah, top goal scorer, 10 goals in 10 games, by the way. Just phenomenal. In Italy, Juve went top briefly after their late winner, Cambiasso, with a goal in the 97th minute on Saturday night. But Marcus Thuram had other ideas for Inter. His goal was the difference, enough to beat Mourinho-less Roma, and they went top. Yeah, Mourinho wasn't at the game, obviously. He used to be Inter manager. He got sent off last week, so missed the game. Bit of a child, isn't he? I mean, they really could have done with someone like Jose on the sidelines. That's the sort of game where they really could have done with him. The game of the week, the big game of the week, was Milan versus Napoli. Well, Milan aimed to put right their loss. I mean, they did get quite comfortably beat by PSG. They came out all guns blazing. Giroud with 2 goals, early doors, took them 2-0 up away at Napoli, but then goals from Raspadori and Politano levelled the score, and that was 2-2. And I think I said, you know, it's going to be really tough for anyone to beat that Inter side this season. I think they're the ones who are going to go for it. Juve, they seem to have something about them, though, because that last minute goal, I was watching the Juve game, actually, and I felt that coming. You could feel it. And it was the 97th minute. I think Moise Keane had 2 goals disallowed in that game. There is something special about Juve when they're on a good run, but I think it'll be an Inter win. But it's Inter, Juve, Milan and Napoli make up that top four. It could be tight, but I think Inter will do it. A crazy game, by the way, in Cagliari. If you'd have seen the score at 71 minutes, you'd have seen Frosinone 3-0 up, and you probably would have gone, ah, I won't watch this, game's over. Cagliari won from that position. 71 minutes, 3-0 down, they managed to win. I'm not lying, 4-3 they won. 2 really late goals in that game as well. That was absolutely nuts. I mean, if you're a time traveller, go back, put a tenner on it, or put 100 quid on it, or put a grand on it. In Germany, talking of crazy games, Bayern were level 0-0 with Darmstadt going into the 51st minute. The game, well, Bayern just decided to start playing, and the game finished 8-0. Kane got a hat-trick with a stunning halfway line strike. We talked about Lamine Kamara last week, his goal, the 19-year-old. I think this is better. I think this is better. The angle where you see from behind where Kane shot, and you can see the whole pitch, and you're behind it. The ball, the way it moves, it's just, I mean, what a strike. Harry Kane, form of his life, he's making that Bundesliga look easy. We all know, arguably, well, he is. He's the best striker in the world. Talking about top strikers, Leipzig won 6-0 and Lewis Openda scored. He'll be there or thereabouts. He'll be in the mix for the golden boot in that league. He, yeah, scored 2 and, yeah, Leipzig 6-0. It's probably going to be between Guirassy, Kane and I think Openda, but Leroy Sané also scored twice and he's on 8. Fantastic numbers from Leroy Sané this year, and I've said he's the best right winger in the world at the moment. Guirassy out for Stuttgart at the moment, and they really struggled. They got beat at home to Hoffenheim. Xavi Alonso's Leverkusen stay top, though. They won again. They won against Freiburg. If you haven't been paying attention, by the way, to Florian Wirtz, 20 years old, had an amazing breakthrough season a couple of years ago. Stuttered a little bit last season, but back on it, and watch what he does this season, because he's in a free-flowing attacking side. He's arguably one of the most creative players in that division. He's only 20 years old, and the numbers he'll put up in terms of goal contributions this season, I think they'll be astounding. So keep an eye on him. Watch that. Jonas Vind scored another goal as well. He's in great form. Sané, yeah, like I said, with another 2. It is going to be a fascinating race for that golden boot. I think it'll be Kane. If I'm putting my money anywhere, I'm putting it on Kane at the moment. Everywhere else, Ajax lost again. They were beaten away, to be fair, at league leaders PSV. Ajax are bottom. Imagine if they get relegated. And it doesn't look like anything's turning. I mean, it's not like... I don't understand it. Anyone who knows anything a little bit more about the Eredivisie, let me know. Because I don't understand how Ajax can go from where they were. They haven't really lost many players. They've still got some of the best players in the league. And they're bottom of the league. And they just lose every week. Another goal, by the way, by Vangelis Pavlidis. He is... I mean, it's a strange game. He scored again. He's now top goal scorer in that division. Jimenez didn't score this weekend. But when I say it's a strange game, he scored after Bas Dost scored early. The game was abandoned late on when Bas Dost collapsed. That's another athlete mysteriously collapsing. We've seen a lot of that the last couple of years. When did that start? It's probably around the same time when... Yeah, well, you know. In Portugal, Benfica drew but stay top. The three big boys of that league, all on 22 points. What a title race that could be. Benfica, Sporting and Porto. That is a fascinating division. And this is the thing, right? We get so hooked into English football. I understand it's hard to keep tabs of everywhere else, but there are some amazing, amazing title races that could potentially happen. Some teams that shouldn't be there, that you wouldn't expect normally be there. And then, like I said, in Portugal, the three big boys all on the same amount of points. It's going to be a cracking race. Right, okay, let's do the two lies and a truth answer. We had three stories. You had to guess which one was true. Story number one, Steven Gerrard scored a goal for Bulgaria under-17s. Story number two was groundskeeper Willie once scored a goal for Aberdeen Reserves. And story number three was Jimothy Jamathy was sent off last week for South African side Hungry Lions. That's three stories. Did you get it? Which one was true? You're not going to believe it. It was Steven Gerrard scored a goal for Bulgaria under-17s. There is a young player who's been talked about like he's the next big thing in Bulgaria called Steven Gerrard. Look it up. It's true. Quiz question was, in football, if a direct free kick goes straight into a team's own goal, what is awarded to the opposing team? Was it A, goal? Was it B, indirect free kick? Or was it C, corner? I'll be honest, this is something I didn't know. It's C, a corner is given if a direct free kick goes into the team's own goal. Didn't know that. Okay, guys, thank you so much once again for tuning in. We are trying to build our presence. I say this every week. It is amazing that you guys listen and we love it. But if you could go over to YouTube, hit subscribe, hit like, it helps us so much. We love it. And obviously you get to see my face and you get to see some of the videos on the TikTok submissions as well. I'm going to leave you this week with a tribute to a man who made me laugh so much when I was growing up. The wonderful Matthew Perry.
I'm not going to miss you helping me out with money. The only thing that I'm gonna miss is you.
So no one told you life was gonna be this way. Your job's a joke, you're broke, your love life's the way. It's like you're always stuck in second gear. When it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, or even your year.